Hey guys, Butters from South Park here. Just want to make sure you have your parents' permission to be listening to this. You know, sometimes we talk about some pretty racy things, like boobies. Well, I guess I'd better get going now. Enjoy the show.
Please state your name.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Please state your purpose.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. Read reviews, choose your own commission plan, and learn more about Mark at markcharter.com.
Now, hear this.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Mark Charter.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more Adam Gray.
And Adam Gray.
Hey, what's up, dudes? Welcome to this week's podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Been a tumultuous week on the forums. Adam Gray, have you had fun moderating?
No, actually I haven't. It's been good for site traffic. I appreciate you and Brent putting those clickbaiting articles out there for us.
What are you feeding the beast for?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious what you guys are doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You guys are just doing it just to drive site traffic
Travis
for Cyclone Fanatic.
Bill Simmons and Dan Patrick and
Andy Peterson. That I'm clueless? I haven't been on the forum all week.
Yeah. I mean, you have people asking you real estate questions.
I did get on there. Thanks for the heads up. I did get on there. And
that's your own forum. You have your own forum. You got to check it, Mark Charter.
Well, so Adam Gray, you run that thing. Is there a setting that I can click to let me know when someone's posted on that forum?
No.
That would help.
That would be nice. I'll put that in my things to do. I'll get back
to
the next,
to not do.
Next couple years on that one.
We should welcome our guests, by the way.
What's up?
The Hawk.
The Hawk.
How you doing?
Ross Peterson, what's up, brother?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for inviting me. This is a cool place you guys got here. I like the dungeon.
It's going to be a lot better. I actually ordered a bunch of pictures.
Jim and the hologram posters.
It's going to be cool. I've got all sorts of sweet.
You've got an event here for a couple fat heads and stuff.
Iowa State Photography that we're going to have. That Luke and Reese and some of our photographers have taken it. We got some really cool stuff.
It would legitimize this space a little bit if you did that, because we're staring at some blank walls here, man.
I haven't had time.
This feels like an oversized prison cell.
Are you guys going to get in trouble for having me on? I saw the tweets firing around that having a Hawk on.
That was me.
Dude, that's all you. Okay.
I'm going to take the heat if you do, because I like Ross. And,
well, I like Ross, too.
And damn it, I pay for this, so my decision.
Money talks, man.
Yeah, money talks. So what happened on the forums, though?
Oh, everybody's just fired up about Hoiberg.
The fact he's not going anywhere?
Well, we'll see. I hope not.
Do you really think he's going somewhere?
Like, everything that I'm hearing tells me yes, but like my gut and heart maybe still tell me that he'll stay.
I just...
It's kind of like I compare it to the Big 12 realignment a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, everything is like, oh, crap. This whole thing's blowing up. Iowa State's going to be in the MAC. But I always kind of felt like, oh, this will work itself out. I kind of feel like that with Hoiberg. Everything I'm hearing tells me that he's probably going to go.
This topic...
I still have a hard time believing that it actually happens. So we'll see.
I never jump on the bandwagon of, yeah, he's leaving. And I guess I don't understand exactly why he would, unless it's truly his dream to do it. Because does his life get significantly better if he goes? Does he make significantly more money, et cetera? You know?
I don't think it's about money.
Then it has to be about it's just a dream for
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's not a secret. I think most people know that.
But doesn't that dream still reasonably exist for him 5 years from now after Iowa State has maybe won a national championship?
You're talking about a man with major heart condition. He's said numerous times he will not be Coach K coaching into his 70s. So he's got a short career. What do you want to do for the time that you have? I don't know. That's up to him.
I don't know. This is naive of me, I'm sure, but I just don't see him wanting to massively let down the Iowa State fan base. And he will if he leaves. He has Iowa State his whole life.
I don't think he owes Iowa State anything.
He doesn't. But I think he's a really, you know, he's the all-American guy.
Does Jamie Pollard listen to this podcast?
Probably.
We can only.
I don't know. I'm sure somebody in his.
Somebody that is listening that can do this needs to do this right away. put up a mock, some sort of, somebody that's good with Photoshop or whatever, Microsoft Paint. And
does that exist?
I don't even know what. Somebody that can make this.
Photoshop.
Draw up a mock of what it's going to look like in those 5 years that Mark's talking about. If you do something magical and win a national title, even if you continue on the pace that you're on and you continue to be a perennial powerhouse, a top five team year after year, you make this a destination. You make Iowa State not just a basketball program. Make them the Duke of the Midwest, which is, I really think that's the track that you're on right now. Somebody needs to right away draw up the mock of a 30-foot bronze statue outside of Hoiberg Coliseum. I'm not joking. And show him this is what's at stake.
Yeah.
It's not the zeros in your bank account. It's not chasing an NBA title. Listen, hundreds of coaches are going to win NBA titles throughout the course of history.
Yeah.
Hundreds. It's not that important.
Yeah.
You can do something that so few people in the course of history have a chance to do.
Yeah.
Put an entire state, this fan base that loves you and admires you and probably will no matter what decision you make. But this, that sort of legacy, a Stan Musial type,
exactly.
What the Cardinals
exactly
screwed up with Pujols.
I don't understand why is the NBA such a draw? And it's very naive
of
me.
It's the peak of the mountain.
Well, but I'm not a basketball coach, but he's going to go coach the Bulls and nobody's going to give a crap. He means something
It's a personal thing. When you're a kid, if your dream was to hit the game-winning home run in the World Series, and then you get the chance to play Major League Baseball, you're going to take that chance, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a tough comparison because there's not really an equivalent to the college basketball to MLB. But if that's his dream, it's his dream.
And I think people in Iowa have a hard time understanding that because we're not a pro state. We're a college state.
Right.
So people in Iowa typically don't like the NBA. But Fred's been there. He played there. He was a GM.
It was his life for a
decade. He gets what the NBA is. And if he has a desire to be in the NBA, it's probably because he knows it's competing against the best, but he probably prefers that style, as you see coaching.
Absolutely. He's brought that style to college.
So for a lot of Iowa State fans don't understand it because they look at the NBA and they're like, NBA sucks. We don't like the NBA. But Fred's completely different. He looks at the NBA and says, that is the top of it, and that's where I want to be.
True basketball geeks, Matt Woodley, Bloom, those guys love the NBA.
Absolutely.
I love the NBA.
Absolute geek out on the NBA.
Fred, too, I mean, you just got to – he's a competitive SOB. And the lure of winning the most prestigious basketball. Like basically, right now, he's picking, do I want to try and win an NBA Finals? Or do I want to try and win a Final Four?
How about we just do both? Yeah.
But he has – you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
It's a choice that he's come down to right now. It's
in a weird way, like I compare his situation to this is something that probably millions of people deal with every year. And that is they're in a relationship where they kind of feel like they want to get out of it and they don't because of loyalty or they're scared of the unknown. I feel like Hoiberg's in that place. Like even if in his gut, he's thinking, I want to go to the Bulls. I want to go to the Bulls. He's also feeling this deep, conflicting emotion of loyalty. What will it do to my legacy and aims?
Don't question about that.
All of that. And that sucks. And here's the thing that sucks even worse for Cyclone fans. And I think this is a very real possibility. The minute Hoiberg leaves, we could go back to where we were before. We could, because he hasn't built the program to where the program is stable, whether he is there or not there. I don't think that at all.
I
think
like
we're there
point.
Because of him.
I like your point there. That if ego, if that success in the NBA is what's driving him, if that I want to be the best is what's driving him, the other part of the Jamie Pollard's presentation has to be, hey, there's work to be done here.
Yeah,
we're still digging. We're still trying to dig here. Can you got the big shovel, man. Help us.
Yeah.
You could do something really special here. If you want to go on and prove your worth at the next level, prove it to us here. Show us that you can finish the job you started. And that's a snotty argument to give to a guy like that, but I think
Fred is going to feel like, and maybe he already feels like it's been paid, but when somebody takes a chance on you, never coached before.
I don't buy that though.
That's life. Though.
I know, but just because he succeeded at Iowa State, he.
Yeah, but that's baloney because you feel loyalty to the guys that run Cyclone Fanatics.
There's no doubt you feel loyalty to them.
And that's tough to sever.
You don't owe your life to them though.
No,
Fred doesn't owe his life to Jamie Pollard just because Jamie Pollard gave him a coaching job.
No, he does not owe.
Fred's done a good job. I mean, he's done what he's paid to do. They paid him to coach Iowa State. He's taken him to four NCAA tournaments, a Sweet 16. It's not like he's been slacking off on the job.
I don't think anybody's saying that.
Well, I know, but I understand the loyalty factor, and I get it. And it's very real, and you know that Fred's feeling those things. But he doesn't owe anything to anyone. He's done what he is paid to do.
And I agree with that, but I also think that Fred has not done enough to get to the point where it's like, hey, he's done enough. He took us to the heights. Great, move on. Because Sweet 16, not enough. It just isn't. Not in today's climate. Not when we're thinking Final Four, Elite Eights. We're not going to those yet. So if his pinnacle at Iowa State was Sweet 16 appearances, that's nice. But it's not that great, frankly. Is it a lot better than
McDermott? So you don't think he's done that great of a job?
I think he's done a fantastic job in comparison to some other coaches we've had. In comparison to the UConns, Dukes, Kentuckys, Arizonas, Wisconsin.
But Iowa State's not a UConn,
no,
Duke, or Kentucky.
No, but we can get there.
Okay,
we can
but they're
get there
not there yet.
Stays.
You can't just compare – you can't take Fred Hoiberg's 5 years and say, well, you're not doing what Mike Krzyzewski's done when it's taken him two decades to build that program. That's not what – that's not a – that's not fair.
I think if he leaves, he's leaving the job incomplete. That's what I feel. And he may, and obviously he's not going to listen to this and give a crap what I say.
Maybe he will.
But that's my opinion. I think he's leaving it incomplete.
I agree a little bit with Mark there. I think he would be leaving it incomplete. And if he stays, I think the only way he can really get Iowa State to the Final Fours and get him to the upper echelon that a lot of Iowa State fans want is to come out and say, hey, I'm staying for 5 more years. I'm staying for 10 more years.
Yeah, because you can't do this every year. I agree.
I've said this for years. He's doing a phenomenal job with good college basketball players. Iowa State doesn't have great college basketball players. I know George Niang's a first team All Big 12, but he's not this NBA prospect. He doesn't have a lot of NBA talent on his team to coach. He can go get those guys. If he comes out and says, I'm going to be at Iowa State for 5 to 10 years, then these recruits are going to look at them and say, Iowa State's scoring 80 points a game. He's a great coach. He gets more with less. And he can get me to the NBA, I'll go play for him. But they're not going to if every single year the NBA is coming around and they don't know if he's going to be there or not. So that's the only way Fred Hoiberg can take Iowa State to that next level. So I'm going to be there for 10 years.
Which is why I wrote last week, I mean, and I killed for it. He does need to say something.
Absolutely.
I mean, if he's not going.
If he's not going. And if he is going, then his silence makes a lot of sense. If he is planning on going.
I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up. Does anybody have anything else to add to this conversation?
I sure hope he stays.
I do too.
I'll
even
be
devastated. Even as a Hawkeye fan, I hope he stays. I really like the guy.
You're just saying this because you're on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
No, that's not true.
I heard you last night on Sports Fanatic saying
The Hawkeye fan in me hopes that he leaves. That was very clear about that last night. Don't try to twist it because you got Cyclone fans listening now. The Hawkeye fan in me that wants to beat Iowa State hopes he leaves because I know you've got I know the Hawks have a better chance of winning and being the dominant program in this state again.
Absolutely.
When he's not here. But the sports fan in me, and I'm one of these corny guys that Iowa State really is my second favorite team. My son says the same thing. He's 5, so it's something that I'm breeding into him.
So we got time to switch him over to make him the first favorite team. He's still young enough.
Maybe. But, you know, I want Fred Hoiberg to stay for the health of sports in the state of Iowa.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to play some games. Have some fun here.
So, yeah, I was just about to say our podcast is not fun enough today. So,
but if you don't address this, we're idiots.
The people will riot. Yes.
Would you call it the elephant in the room, Chris?
Absolutely.
So I got two games today. One is for all three of you, which we'll play in a little bit. But I've got one specifically for our guest here, Ross Peterson.
Cool. Okay.
So Ross is, if you don't listen to the show, either the old Morning Rush show or the Fanatic show, and I've told Ross this, he knows this, but Ross is fantastic at doing live reads. Okay. Live reads are great. And the reason, for those that don't know what they are, it's basically unscripted. He knows what he has to talk about. He knows the subject matter, but he has to riff for 60 seconds. Well, I've got 4 topics. I'll give you 30 seconds at each one. And you don't know what they are ahead of time. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to test your talents here. And keep in mind,
you want me to hit 30 seconds on the.
I'll time you, and I'll count you down from 5. Okay. So you'll know. Okay. So here's the deal. These are things that maybe you're not a fan of, but you've been paid to shill. So you got to do your thing. Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you the first one, then I'll start my little stopwatch here. All right. So you've been paid to promote this following change in the public school systems. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right, here we go.
Knowing Ross, this could go.
All right, moving forward, all water fountains in grade schools around the city of Des Moines will be replaced. Instead of water, they'll have Mountain Dew.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need to you need to tell what the benefits are of this, and you're going to start right now.
You know, folks, you've been sending your kids to school the last couple of years, and the parents are always beating into you about how breakfast is the most important meal for your kids. Because if they don't eat breakfast, they have no energy. We've got a solution for that, okay? So you might think that Mountain Dew has some negative qualities to it, but the fact is there's caffeine, there's just enough sugar in there to give your kids the boost that helps them get through the day. And the nice part of this, the nice benefit for parents, you get the sugar crash at the end of the day, Mountain Dew over water.
Awesome.
That was great. That was
See, good. I'm telling you, he's good. He's really good. All right, here you go.
Well done.
I got nervous there. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
All right, so we got three
more.
He
does something that we don't even get at the station. Mark's giving you the countdown.
Yeah.
When we have to do them,
I just go until I'm done.
Yeah, it's like, we're at 50 seconds.
All right, here you go. All right. So a new construction company in Des Moines has hired you to get out. They're doing something that the public finds wrong, and they think it's a good thing, and frankly, they have no other options. So a new construction company wants to put radioactive waste into the Des Moines River next to Principal Park. Your job is to convince the public that this is a good thing.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
The economic benefits that a team like the Iowa Cubs brings to the Des Moines area can't be understated. And when a team like that is good, it can be great for our community. We all know the impact that steroids had with the attendance at baseball. If we could get some radioactive freaks hitting 700-foot home runs at Principal Park, do you know how many people would show up down there? We'd have to build a 20,000-seat stadium in downtown Des Moines.
That reminds me.
Radioactive waste over normal river water.
That reminds me. Bloom and I was their senior year of college. We were in this creative writing for the nonfiction class.
Okay.
Don't forget it. And the idea was seriously being tossed around for Bloom to do this like thesis type, this long paper that takes like an entire semester to do on how would his body react to steroids. Bloom.
Bloom.
Yeah, little Bloom.
Dude, that'd be funny to see him swolled up.
You think Bloom could go out and just start jacking homers?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Maybe. I don't know.
No.
Bloom's not a bad athlete.
Yeah, I don't
run
think
around.
He is
he can
either.
Hit a golf
the guy
ball.
Can hit a golf ball.
Son of a bitch can crush a golf ball.
Yeah, he can.
All right, Ross.
He's a better golfer than anybody in this room.
Two more. I'm not going to count you down anymore either.
Okay,
we're going to see how close you can get to 30 seconds
I can
as
see
well.
I'll try not to watch Chris's thing here either. Okay.
All right, here you go. The Iowa Department of Corrections has hired you to spread the word that moving forward, all breastfeeding moms will be arrested for doing it publicly. We've talked about this
really
topic on the show.
Really, you're not a fan of public breastfeeding.
All right, so...
Mark's the only dude I know who doesn't want to see boobs.
This is true. All right, ready? Go.
There's a few times in my life I've been really wrong about things. One of them was the Ingersoll bike trail. I thought that was a bad idea, and it turned out to be a great thing. The other one was the smoking ban. I couldn't believe that the government was going to tell people, businesses, they couldn't let people smoke. But all of those were great ideas. And breastfeeding ban is another one of these things. At first, I was against this. But the other day, I'm out at a restaurant, and this lady whips her tit out. She starts breastfeeding the kid. Milk's shooting all over the establishment. And it was gross. It was absolutely disgusting. And I thought, I don't want my kid thinking that that's normal behavior, just like I don't want my kid thinking smoking in public is normal behavior. So that's why I am pro breastfeeding public ban.
Long, but good.
How long?
43.
It's okay.
You're within the 20 seconds.
Effective message.
All right, here you go. Last one. And again, he's knocking out of the park. My wife, when I was telling her I was going to do this, she's like, don't have Gray do it because he's going to suck at this.
Wow. And I've still never even met Katie. All right.
Shots fired.
Why does everybody just daggers?
It's because we all.
You got a skill in this area.
It's because we all love him.
All right, here you go.
All right,
we're gonna end on this one.
All right,
a man with 12 murder convictions is running for Iowa governor and has paid you to endorse him. His name is Willie the Shank Doppelbop.
Willie the Shank Doppelbop.
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 All right, 12 murder convictions. He's been released, and he's now running for governor of Iowa. Ready?
Yes.
Go.
Have you made mistakes in your life? I've made mistakes in my life, some that I'm afraid to admit publicly. The Shank Doppelbop has, everybody knows this guy's skeletons. There's nothing to hide. Now, his opponent, Billy Danklewicz, we don't know what he's done 12 times. I say, give the Shank a chance. Doppelbop for governor, 2016.
I feel like you were
short.
I feel like you were describing somebody we know.
25.
Done the same thing seconds. 12 times.
25 seconds?
25. You shortened that one up.
That's good.
That's well done.
Yeah.
That's well done.
Thanks.
You can think on your feet, or in this case, on your seat.
Yeah.
Since you're sitting. It's, but.
Chris knows I'm way better on my feet than... If you, give me time, if you give me time to think about it, it's usually pretty bad.
That's why every day when we do the show, like with our little segments, I kind of pre-do everything, and then I just throw them to Ross.
Do you guys
feel like it works that way?
Better that way.
Do you want to hop right into our round robin game since we're playing games?
Yeah, I'm going to dominate like now that. To shut
well,
your wife up.
Unfortunately, it's not. Well, okay, yeah. This will allow you to think quickly. It's not a trivia, anything like that. This is more of an opinion. But we can get your opinions, all three of you. I'll ask you all the same question. You can round robin it. Gray, you can start. Okay.
All right.
We're going to do a little bit of would you rather. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to give you some scenarios, and you pick your choice, and then defend it.
Okay.
If you need to. Okay. So Adam Gray. Would you rather lose your sex organs or gain 200 pounds for the rest of your life?
Wow.
What do you weigh now? You're 225?
Thank you. I'm 230, but I'll take 225.
All right. So you'd be 430.
430.
Okay.
My wife probably wouldn't be having sex with me at that point anyway. So I think I would rather lose my sex organs. I like to golf. I don't think I'd be golfing very well or very much at 430 pounds.
Probably not.
So I would rather, as painful, I thought there's nothing you could say that would be worse than losing sex organs. But
yeah.
200 pounds, I think, actually is worse for me. So I will
save
sex organs.
So Gray loses his wiener. All right.
This is why I keep the frame of a winner of the show Naked and Afraid. Naked and Afraid. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
The guy always comes out looking like
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. They lose like 30 pounds out in the
jungle.
That's
just kind of my walking around weight, yeah. Right? So I'd take the 200 pounds. I'm walking around 360.
Yeah.
I'm still crushing golf balls.
360 is okay.
You know what? You know how good I'd be at cuddling at 360?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I'd be a cuddling machine 360.
See, this is an unfair advantage for you guys because both of you being under 200, you're still under the 400 threshold.
What if we just set it at 400 pounds? Would you rather weigh 400 pounds or lose all your sex? I still say the 400 pounds, man, you're still getting life. You're still golfing at 400 pounds.
No.
They got golf carts.
Struggling.
Not very good.
My boy Dave Henrik, Golf Cars of Iowa, best golf cars you can buy in the state of Iowa. You would be struggling. Golf Cars of Iowa.
Yeah. Chris, what do you say? What's your pick?
Well, I think if I weigh 400 pounds, it means I would die pretty early.
Probably.
Yeah. So I would probably just give her one last go with the wife and cut off the wiener.
Well, are you able?
I want to be able to watch my daughter and have grandkids and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking down the road here.
Are you able to give it one last go before?
Sure.
Okay.
You give it one last go.
Yeah.
Let me skip to one other.
Wait a minute. How many last goes can I have?
Just one.
Yeah,
just one.
I'm still taking the weight.
Here's a good one since we're already on the conversation of wieners. Would you rather have no penis or five penises?
What?
Hey, it's here, man.
Trader, you're a perverse individual.
Oh, shut it.
I'd rather have five penises.
Yeah, that's it. That's an easy one.
Brainer, right?
That's easy.
Five?
What about, so would you have 10 testicles?
Maybe.
Because that could be problematic.
You definitely look like a cow at that point.
I mean, think about it, though. Hanging all over the place.
You'd have to walk bow-legged pretty bad.
Yeah.
Gray, would you rather have your grandmother's haircut or her first name?
Peggy? Peggy, for sure. Yeah, her haircut was brutal.
Both of my grandmas are dead, so I'd rather have her name.
So what would your name be?
Both of my grandmother's names were Jean.
Oh, Jean?
Jean Williams.
So you can get away with that.
Yeah,
that's an easy one for you.
And I don't want to be dead. So.
Ross, what are your choices over there? What do you got?
What would their hair look like at this point?
Well,
honestly.
He's thinking more like, you know, the picture you have of your grandma. When you think of grandma, you don't think of skull with six
God
hairs
hanging rest her
on,
soul,
right?
She died of breast cancer, so she had a wig. So I could basically look however the hell I wanted to look.
Or you'd have her wig, whatever her wig was.
You could have been a debater in high school. You really should have been on the debate team. I like how you pick. It's good. It is. It's good how you parse things. That's good. My choices are Shirley and Iva.
Iva Peterson.
But Shirley,
I love it.
I think there's been men named Shirley.
Not anyone I respect.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Sorry if there's a Shirley guy out there. I apologize.
I'd have to go with the Shirley. I can get past a goofy name.
Okay.
The haircut,
I think I know where all you guys are going with this one. Would you rather be 3 feet tall or 8 feet tall?
I'd rather be 8 feet tall.
This goes back to the five penises thing. I'd rather be 8 feet tall.
Eight feet tall, you can make a lot of money in the NBA.
Yeah.
Probably.
But if you're 8 feet tall, you're probably going to die young. Giants don't live long.
Yeah.
Neither do midgets.
Yeah, this is true.
Small people.
Yeah.
What's the right word?
It's a little people.
Little people.
Vertically challenged.
No, I'd still rather be the tall guy.
Yeah, me too.
With modern medicine, I mean, come on.
Gray, would you rather have the size head the size of a tennis ball or the size of a watermelon?
Oh, wow.
He basically has the watermelon.
No, I don't. It's 7 1/4 halves.
He's got a big gourd.
Oh, that's not that bad.
He has a big gourd. There's no question about that.
Watermelon.
Come on. A head the size of a tennis ball.
Yeah, watermelon for sure.
Who's going to pick a tennis ball? Like, I want to know the guy who would be like, yeah, I'd rather have the tennis ball head.
Watermelon for me.
Watermelon. Some of these are dumb. Like, one of them
Speaking of that, I got a... when we were at El Bait Shop last week, the growler.
Oh yeah.
There's a watermelon wheat.
How is it?
I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a
good
big
discussion.
I'm not a big watermelon.
But it was intriguing to me, so I'm like, I'm gonna try it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna dip into it tonight during the Bulls game is the plan.
Gray, would you rather be an ugly genius or a hot moron?
Oh, a hot moron for sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
I think I'd rather be the ugly genius, because if you're a genius, you're going to be rich.
Yeah.
And you can get hot women if you're rich, because there's a lot of gold diggers out there. So that's the route I go. And then it's endless. I mean, if you're a hot moron, it's just like that guy on the movie, the last Seth Rogen movie I watched, The Neighbors, you know? There's the...
Oh, yeah. The kid that's from...
The frat boy?
Zac Efron.
Yeah. Zac Efron's character in there. He's a, he's a really good-looking guy. He walks around with his shirt off, but he's a total idiot.
Working at Abercrombie.
Yeah, and he's a freaking model at Abercrombie. You can't feed your family doing that.
But
so.
He's pulling some serious tail.
Dude, I know a lot of ugly...
I'm hung up on that. I keep thinking, I have a lot of questions about how hot am I in this scenario.
Big, because, and how big of a moron?
Right.
Because I'm already a moron.
As hot can be.
So, like, supermodel hot.
Yeah.
So, do you want to be Zoolander?
Like,
would you rather be Zoolander or Stephen Hawking?
Maybe that's you could be a male model.
Would I rather be Zoolander or Stephen Hawking?
Yeah.
I'm taking that Zoolander lifestyle.
I would too.
I am, yeah.
I would too. Would you rather...
Hawking's like, he's got problems though, right?
Well, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't
primarily,
know that.
Primarily can't move. Yeah.
I didn't know I was handicapped. I thought I was just an ugly guy.
Gray, what would you pick?
Cap.
No internet access for the rest of your life?
Ooh, then I'm
or never being able to fly in an airplane again?
Oh, that's pretty easy. I would... never have to fly an airplane again. I could still get around the United States. That'd be,
world travel would be tough.
No internet. Really, like, what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to do your job?
People that grace the face of the earth that don't use the internet.
Yeah, and they're on that show Mountain Man on National Geographic.
Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
My show.
I mean, come on. They're Amish. Like, how are you going to live life without the internet?
Even the people on the Amish Mafia show are basically on television. Mm-hmm. And so, you know somebody's getting Netflix.
How are they getting paid? I mean, it's electronically going to their bank.
Here's one of these questions that you would answer differently if you were 16. If you were 16, you would answer this differently than I would at 36. Would you rather have unlimited money, power, and respect, or unlimited sex? See, as a 36-year-old, I'm thinking, I don't want unlimited sex, man. I'd be wiped out. I'd be tired.
Well, if you have the money, power, and respect, you're probably
getting... You could buy sex.
Yeah, you're probably getting a pretty...
Tiger Woods over there.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I just thought you meant you were getting a tiger, because that would be the one... If I had all the money...
You'd have respect, a tiger?
I'd probably get a tiger.
Like Mike Tyson in
The Hangover.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Gray, would you rather smell terrible, but you can't smell it, or your partner smell terrible and you have to smell it?
Partner, like in wife?
Partner.
Or like Ross is my partner.
I would rather smell terrible and make her have to smell me.
Yeah, this is no.
I mean, that's easy.
Yeah. Little Dutch oven.
Sorry, babe.
At play. You guys are so considerate.
The Dutch oven's a good move.
You, well, I don't have you know ever anybody... Dutch ovened, Ashley?
Oh, all the time.
No way.
Oh, it happens at least once a week.
Anybody that
purpose,
says the opposite, Mark,
yeah.
Any guy that says,
why not?
Oh, I love my wife so much, I'd rather have her stink and me smell it, doesn't know his wife well enough.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
This is true.
All right, let me give you a couple more. Would you rather die happy in 5 years or ooh, die unhappy in 60 years?
Die unhappy in 60.
So unhappy.
You just value life,
well,
good
no,
or bad.
No, because I mean, I have young kids.
Yeah, think
I
of all like the stuff
see,
you miss.
Yeah, I would like to see my kids grow old, and I'd like
yeah,
to
yeah,
see
but so you're talking about happiness. That's all happiness. That's somebody's talking about.
Well, can I have happiness for 58 years and then
no,
the last 2 years be
no,
unhappy?
No, dude, no.
The
so,
whole 60 years
so
of
you're unhappy for the next 60 years.
55, oh, 60 years is just brutal.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like how brutal? Like
depression.
Suicidal?
Depression. Hate yourself. Hate your life. Hate everything about
hate
it.
Hate my kids.
Yeah, everything.
But do
your
my
life
kid-
sucks.
Hate your kids.
But do my kids like me?
No.
Well, the,
because
yeah,
you're a miserable
difference.
SOB.
So
no,
all of the
like
things,
you.
All of the things that you're going to try to justify that would be
so
like,
gonna,
well, if this makes me happy, those things are gone.
So I'm going to die in 5 years.
For the next yeah, for the next 60 years,
I'm the question's
wanna,
easy to
you
me.
You want to blow your brains out.
The question's
the
easy
years.
To me. 5 years of happiness.
Yeah.
Well, no that. Question.
The yeah. way you just put it, yeah, I'm the same way.
But then how devastated is your family if everything's
but
so
if
happy
they hate
for 5 years?
If
yeah,
they hate
know.
Your guts, then they want you dead anyways.
Here's one I think you guys
what if at the end of the 5 years of happiness, it's an asteroid that kills everybody?
Yeah.
Then is that...
No, you can't go that way. Can't go that way. All right.
It's like the Hunger Games. The government comes in and
right.
wants
Here
to
go.
Shoot us all.
I think I already know all your answers now. Would you rather be filthy rich and live 400 years ago or be poor and live today?
I'd rather be rich 400 years ago. You ever watched like Spartacus and stuff? The rich people, man, they got like naked women bringing them
Spartacus.
Strawberries when they're taking a bath.
You'd be dead by now, though.
We're
30
talking,
years old, you'd be dead.
Yeah.
Talking about
yeah.
1600, not 1600 BC.
Yeah. Life expectancy in 1600.
What was going
was
on in
not
what
great,
was going so. On in 1600?
Trying to
not a country.
People trying to formulate this place into a country, you know.
So I would
you basically
I would
a wealthy
be in like
guy,
England then.
Wealthy guy 400 years ago, let's say in right here, you basically would have been some sort of big like, land owner involved in a lot of different land wars and disputes.
Oh, I think that'd be fun.
And there wouldn't have been a lot of people
I loved the
you.
Show.
It
the
would
game.
Have been isolated.
You ever played Oregon Trail?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dysentery?
Kind of questions that.
Here's a great
you're
one.
Gonna, you're going to forge the river? You're going to chalk it and float.
Adam?
We have too many oats.
All right, tough.
You go hunting, you've killed 400 pounds of beef, but you can take three
that.
Back.
You got a what was it? Fjord, the river, Ford.
Yeah,
what
Ford. It? Ford. Or you could pay those Indians and they can help you. Give them like $2.
Adam Gray, would you rather have your body found on a pile of sex toys or a pile of drugs?
What kind of drug? That's
yeah.
Important.
What kind of
is
drugs?
This? Like heroin? Is it marijuana?
No, it's a pile of meth.
Your body
a
is
meth?
Found on a pile of marijuana. No,
it's a pile of meth.
Why?
We'll clarify. It's meth.
Sex toys.
Yeah,
for sure.
Sex toys.
Yeah.
I mean,
can
meth
I,
is,
if I can.
So you would rather have your partner, you'd rather have your lover, your wife, think that you were a disgusting pervert versus a.
She already
a,
thinks
versus
that.
Versus yeah. an addict.
And what kind of sex toys are we really talking about?
Dildos.
Like anal beads?
Dildos? What does a dildo do me? Well, I should ask
Bend
that
over
question.
It'll show you.
I shouldn't ask that
Move
question.
Move on.
Bend over. Ross?
You guys have internet in this building?
What's your answer, Ross?
Why do I ask questions like that?
Seriously, have you learned by now?
Yeah.
Okay, if we're talking like heroin, meth... Those sorts of drugs, I'm definitely taking the embarrassment of the sex toys.
Okay.
It's not embarrassment if you're dead, Ross.
But, oh, it's still it's embarrassment
it
to your family.
To the people you left behind.
Yeah, right. But I think if we're talking like, you know, mushrooms, I'll if you find my body dead on a pile of mushrooms, you just know.
You had a good time.
He laughed himself
like,
to death.
Like Morels?
Like Morels, what I'm talking about. Yeah, or the kind you get on Pizza Hut. Huh. The
My neighbor brought some Morels over for
yeah.
me.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Some Morels.
All right. Let me do.
I didn't know those were drugs.
Let me do
I just
two
mean
more.
Because they're so addictive.
Two more. Would you rather live in the house of your dreams? This is another internet question. Would you rather live in the house of your dreams?
Just call Mark Charter, markcharter.com.
They'll find it for you.
But that house does not have internet access or your current home for the rest of your life.
Current home the rest of my life.
Current home.
Now,
which you just sold.
The
can't
loophole.
Stay there.
The loophole. Yeah. The loophole is you could go to Starbucks and use their internet access if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But you're in a mansion.
I like my home. I like my house. Ross?
I think you know, I love my house, but Mark and I have been talking about this the last couple weeks anyway. I might go with the house of my dreams with no internet access at the house.
It's kind of refreshing to not have to be on
right?
the internet.
And if you're going to say house of my dreams, like I get to wave a magic wand, there's going to be a lot of cool things there. We're going to have a big pond, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's going to
have a lake. Like with what we do for a living, we wouldn't be able to do our jobs.
Yeah, but what
I wouldn't at least.
What if I had a cabin on the edge of my property that did have internet? This is why I love here.
What about 4G? I mean, can I pull? Yeah. That's not. I mean, would you consider that internet? Is that not Wi-Fi?
This is fitting for you guys. You famous guys.
No answer
that are on
to the
radio.
Question.
Here you go. Famous. Okay, last one here. Would you rather everyone think your life sucks, but it's actually awesome, or everyone thinks your life is, but it's actually good?
That's actually a pretty good question.
What would you?
A lot of your questions have been stupid, but that one's a pretty good one.
I didn't write these questions, okay?
So would you rather have people think your life is shitty, but your life is awesome, or have people think your life is awesome, but
so
your life is shitty?
So people are basically walking around and saying, man, God, Ross has got it rough, dude. He's just...
I feel so bad for that
he
guy.
He doesn't make any money. His wife beats him, you know, and the opposite of all that is true. So the perception is completely reversed.
I'll tell you what. The older I get in my life, the less I care what people think about me.
Amen to that. No doubt about that, man.
So I would take... people thinking that my life sucks and it'd actually be great.
Yeah.
That I would take that one.
I think that's a no-brainer. Yeah. No doubt.
I can't make any argument to that at all.
So
I lied. I got to ask you this last one because it's about a song. You can only hear one song for the rest of your life.
Justin Bieber, Boyfriend.
Bohemian Done. Rhapsody or Ring of Fire? What do you pick?
A Ring of Fire.
Let me make my case for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. All right.
Because Bohemian Rhapsody is so many different genres of music in one song,
all in one,
that you can I don't think you would get as sick of that as easily as that would get annoying so fast.
No, it's cash.
I'm going to disagree with you.
I think I'd go with Bohemian Rhapsody just because of the variation on... There's a few different genres. You've got a little bit of opera, and there's some rock and roll, and there's some slow, and...
Pledge allegiance to the hag, man.
Were any of you guys in fraternity, by the way? That question reminds me of... I was not either, but my friend...
You seem like a guy who would be.
No.
D-Mac, I didn't make it to Rush Week. I dropped out of D-Mac before Rush Week.
I had a friend, though, that was... I don't know, Delta Tau, I don't know, whatever. He was in one of them with the Greek letters.
Delta Bravo.
Okay. And so that Rush Week, they make you do all sorts of stupid stuff, and it's ridiculous. But I remember him telling me this story. And do you remember the song Blue? It was like, da-dee-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, like that one?
It went blue,
it was hot for a while. So for a week.
With the bros.
Yourself.
So
the
for
bros,
a week.
The bros liked Blue.
So all the people that were pledging.
The frat boys.
All the people that were... I thought this was a great prank, basically. All the people that were pledging had to sleep in the same room, okay? And at the beginning of the week, I think they had maybe like 6 or 7 mattresses on the floor. And each night, they would come in and they would remove a mattress. And you had to be on the mattresses. That was the rule. At the same time, that song was on repeat for the entire week.
Oh, my God.
And they could not shut it off. So they had to listen to the song all week long. Plus, their sleeping space kept getting smaller and smaller as they kept taking mattresses away. And by the end, they were basically cuddling with each other to try to stay on this mattress. That's
awful.
In a nutshell why I probably didn't join the Greek system. But that's the type of stuff that they
I want to get back to Chris's comment. He just said that he thinks you... are a frat guy, or you thought he would be. Will you expand on that a little bit?
I'm guessing it has something to do with how I'm dressed.
Yeah, look at him. It looks sharp-dressed man.
Share your real opinion here. I thought it was a dig.
He's saying I'm shallow.
I actually have a lot of some of my best friends from college were in a fraternity.
Oh, I thought you were doing it as a dig.
No,
sounds like some of your best friends were black, too.
What?
Well, I mean, when you make a dig at somebody and then you go, hey, wait a minute, some of my best friends are frat guys.
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a dig, really. I really didn't intend for it to be.
You're looking at Mark. He looks a little metrosexual today. He's got
he
the colored shirt
it.
Under
like,
the...
He
and you go,
totally admits it.
And you say, you seem like one of those frat guys. No offense intended. Trust me, some of my best friends are frat guys. I don't know, man. It comes across a little racisty to me.
It does. And I pulled that exact same card.
Racisty.
So I have African American to be politically correct family members. They are adopted. So if I ever say anything like that, I immediately jump to the, but it's okay.
But it's okay.
I have black people in my family.
Right. I'm always going through my phone like, hey, let me show you pictures of my friends. Here, I'll show you.
Yeah.
It's like that Seinfeld where George gets the exterminator. He has an exterminator.
Yeah.
And he's got a coworker who's black, who works for the Yankees, that thinks he's racist. And George keeps hiring this exterminator to come over. And he's like walking him around just so the guy who thinks he's racist can see him with the black guy. Yeah.
That's a great show. By the way, we talk about Seinfeld a lot on this podcast. So
as you guys do on Sports Fanatics, I've heard.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Have you seen them all like Chris has?
Oh, I wouldn't say I've seen them all. I mean, there are sometimes when I have conversations with people and it either takes me a while to remember it or I just don't. I don't remember. So I know I haven't seen all of them, but I feel like I've got a pretty good knowledge
Chris,
of Seinfeld.
Chris, you might be able to confirm or deny this. I read somewhere, not an article, but just a quick blurb on the internet that said that there is a Superman reference or picture
in every episode.
In every Seinfeld episode. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That is true.
I mean, I've never like...
That's something I can confirm. That's
I've never like looked for it, but
I've read
that
before. Is there like a statue in his apartment or
something? There's a statue in his apartment. There is a magnet on the refrigerator. Sometimes there's references. There's verbal references. They've got... There's several different things. But yeah, there's a... he has a statue on his bookshelf. Mm-hmm. And the other one was there was a magnet on the refrigerator. That one of those was almost always shown.
And is that just because he's a huge fan?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they just...
That's the deal.
And if I remember right, the story with that was it was three or four episodes in, they realized it had been there and they just decided to make it a running thing.
Go with it.
And you do know that the very first conversation of the series is word for word the last conversation of the series.
I had heard that, but it's been so long since I saw the first
show. Yes, the very first episode starts with...
I never knew that.
The very first episode starts with George Costanza and Jerry sitting at a booth and they're talking about the second button.
Yeah.
I want a button-down shirt. The second button really is the pivotal button.
Yeah.
Because if it's open, it makes you look like you're too relaxed. If it's up, then it feels like you're too tight. And then in the very last episode, when they're sitting in the jail cell, they start to have that conversation about the second button. And the last line of the series is, haven't we had this conversation before?
Yeah.
And the screen goes black.
Yeah, because it's representing they've talked about everything.
What did you guys think of the finale of that show, by the way?
I didn't hate it.
A lot of people hated it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people did, but I liked how they incorporated all the characters, because that's what's great to me about Seinfeld is all those secondary characters.
Soup Nazi.
Yeah, I mean, every Seinfeld episode that you talk about, like there's a Poppy being a little sloppy. Like, you know what I mean? There's all these great side characters. You've got Newman. You've got George's parents are my personal favorites. And... It was difficult, I think, to...
Treating your body like an amusement park ride.
What was he reading? He was reading, like, some, like, women's, like, lingerie. It wasn't Victoria's...
It was Glamour.
Glamour magazine. Glamour. That's what it was, yeah.
I'm just thinking,
like, when you're trying to write it, like, they're real and they're spectacular. You got Jackie Chan. Like, they're trying to incorporate all that would be difficult. I didn't hate it at all. It's grown on me the longer...
Yeah.
The farther we're away from it, I thought it would... It wasn't great, but a lot of those classic series, it's very hard to wrap them up.
Did you guys transition to Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I'm
a big fan of
I've watched
that
show. Some.
I love it.
I didn't get HBO when I was that age, so it was really
it's
hard.
So
for
readily,
me. I've watched reruns.
Yeah, I forget that that is right in that age group, Chris, where I was an adult, you were still in college.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was kind of starting
like it
my
as
life.
Much? I would say
adult.
I liked it as much.
I'm still
as
not
Seinfeld.
An adult.
it's Seinfeld, but a little darker.
Absolutely right. Well, it's the Costanza part of Seinfeld. There's no Seinfeld. There's no Elaine. There's no Kramer. And if you could imagine yourself engrossed in Jerry's or in Costanza's world, it'd be a pretty dark place.
Yeah.
And funny, but hard to watch sometimes. I thought the show was brilliant.
It's just every time in that show he does something that is not meant to offend, it offends. Mm-hmm. So, like the one that always jumps to mind is he, you know, just parks his car and is going into a restaurant or whatever, and he just kind of absentmindedly says, "Oh, I forgot to lock it." You know, he turns around and beeps it right as a black guy is passing by.
Yeah, right.
So that immediately turns into something like you locked it because I'm a black guy and you thought I was going to steal
the
car.
That was the brilliance of Larry David. Like he was the master of that. Taking those everyday scenarios and pointing out like the obscure, you know what I mean? That's the wrong word. Pointing out the funny and just kind of finding the humor in these everyday situations that we all did.
And part of the humor in that show too is his manager, Jeff Garlin, and the relationship with his wife. She's always yelling at him. And Jeff's always asking Larry David to hide stuff. Like he's having an affair. Yeah. He's like trying to, you know, you got to lie for me. You got to lie for me, buddy.
I remember seeing a short film one time with Larry David on Funny or Die or something where he and a guy are driving in a car and they pull up to the gas station and they get out of the car and they have this like 15-minute dialogue back and forth, and at the end of the 15-minute dialogue, they realize that they never started the gas pump.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the punchline is that, and I've done that. You know what I mean? I watched it and I thought it was hilarious because, like, man, I've probably done that a dozen times in my life. My buddy, I'll sit there and talk and talk and talk. It's like, when is this thing full? Oh, we got to start it.
Yeah. You know? Have you guys ever, because you're both big Seinfeld fans, and Gray, do you like him?
I love Seinfeld.
Okay. Have you guys seen, it's only online, I believe, but comedians in cars getting coffee. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them. They're pretty good.
I think it's crackle.com is where you can watch that. But that's Seinfeld goes to their house. He picks them up in a different car because he's a big car guy. They drive around. They talk. They go get a cup of coffee.
They just have cameras mounted inside the car.
Yeah, and they just talk. But it's everything from like Sarah Jessica Parker to Alec Baldwin to any famous comedian that you can think of. And they're really good. Hmm. It's kind of like this. We sit around and shoot the BS for
probably not as good as this
an hour, but it's essentially the same principle. There's no script. They're just, it's great.
I've got a real life problem that could be a Seinfeld episode going on right now.
Uh-oh.
What is it?
So we got off the air at 6 the other day, and I came home, and I've been desperately needing to clean out my garage, and everybody knows how that goes. And I can't find my keys now. Here's what I think happened.
Your car keys.
You threw them away.
Well, all my keys. I got them all together.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Like keys to the studio and...
No, the key to this office is on there.
Yeah.
I think I may have left them in my mail thing.
Oh, you have like a community mailbox?
Yeah, we don't have a mailbox.
Yeah.
But how could you leave them in there? You have to
turn the key to lock it, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
So how? No,
I'm losing my mind.
He could have left it. What he's saying is he could have...
I've done it before.
Couldn't you have turned it back to lock and then let go of the key and literally left the key hanging in the lock?
You could have left it hanging in.
Yeah, someone's going to get into your house at any moment.
I have done that before.
Dude, think about this. They're reading your mail.
Yeah, but the mailman likely would have seen that.
No, unless somebody else came up and grabbed it first.
That's what happened.
Who grabs keys?
What if some low-life East Sider lives out there in Bondurant? Rant?
A lot of them do.
Right?
Yeah.
You know they're migrating that way, I've heard.
Oh.
Bloom's there now.
Yeah, Bloom's there.
Bloom.
In Bondurant?
Yeah.
He's my neighbor.
Your keys are as good as sold. Have you checked Tinder or whatever those websites
I don't know where they're at.
I'm not real good with the internet.
So how many keys do you have to replace? Car key?
We got two car keys.
Office key, house key.
Office key, house key.
Mailbox key, obviously.
Mailbox key. Key to my parents' house.
Did you retrace your steps? Because that's what you're supposed to do.
I haven't had time to thoroughly do this, but I've done it as much as possible.
When was the last place you know you had them? At that mailbox?
Yeah.
And that was it?
Hmm. It's lights out.
And you went from mailbox to home.
Yeah.
And the bigger question is, what the hell does that have to do with you cleaning out your garage?
Well,
isn't that how the story started?
Yeah, well, because
you guys know how it is when you clean out your garage and you leave your keys in the mailbox.
I know.
Well, because I was cleaning out my garage, and then I go, oh, I need to go get the mail in the middle of this.
Oh, so you were preoccupied.
Yes.
Okay, now that makes a little more sense. All right.
And I'm just...
And you got a billion things going on in your life anyway.
Yeah,
so,
my mind's mushed to begin with. So
listen, you're not going to find... We can cuss. All the time. Yeah. And
he just radio stopped himself, by the way, which was
great. That's good, though.
I knew you told me that was okay.
Yeah.
I actually had thought about starting to beep.
I don't have nearly the
because
stuff going on with you.
I did read this deal on iTunes. We just haven't been caught yet. Like, if we do cuss, you have to put like a...
explicit?
Yeah.
I'm like that.
So I'm going to start to bleep him out.
It certainly can't be a big deal because I was listening to like real estate type podcast the other day. Really popular, ranks high. The guy said the F-bomb like 4 times.
Does he have a disclaimer on it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Probably does.
Well, I mean,
like when we do stuff, when
Charter's asking questions about sex parts.
Yeah.
And I can't say.
Write that down. 4715. Every time you do it, you're giving me more work.
Jeez.
Can't say bomb on an airplane. Bomb, bomb, bomb.
We're gonna get downs in here pretty soon, dude. What's the point? If you can't speak freely, what's the point of the podcast? I thought that was the whole point.
Well, I just got to beep it out later.
So what you're saying is if we post this and the folks at iTunes listen and hear it.
Or if it gets like reported or something.
They'll slap your wrists a little bit.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't have told it. Now we're going to have people reporting this.
Yeah. Now they're going to be those unhappy like 70-year-old women who listen.
By the way, Ross, I don't know if you've listened, but we do have a warning at the beginning of this podcast.
About boobies.
Our intro.
About boobs?
Yeah. It says that this is not... for everybody.
Ross obviously listens to our podcast.
Well, we had some complaints. We had some complaints saying you guys are on Cycling Fanatic. We thought it was going to be it was going to be about cycling stuff. You know, my kid might be listening, and next thing I know, Chris is talking about swollen mammaries, which he has before, and people got mad.
Didn't I talk about I talked about lactating boobs spraying milk earlier.
You did.
I mean, come on.
That fits right in.
It happens.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Seen it.
Yeah. It'll shoot you in the
eye. I'm amazed we're still doing it. Chris got an email saying that I'm dragging him down and I'm going to end his career.
Yep. I'm sorry for saying that. I apologize.
I got the same email about Travis Justice several times.
Yeah.
I got that same email saying.
Then you moved on.
Did you care?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, did I care at all? Was I having fun? Was what I, you know, my response always was thanks for listening.
How long have you been on the radio for?
12 years. And including a previous stint, about 14
in
Des Moines.
In all that time, roughly how much what I'll call hate mail did you get
or are getting currently? Hundred, maybe something like that. My best story about it, though, is the very first time I filled in for Jan Michelson, I got an email from a guy that was one of the nastiest emails I'd ever seen. And essentially how I read it was, I am holding him, and Jan was on vacation or something.
Yeah.
But the guy wrote back and said, I'm holding Jan Michelson hostage, and I'm not going to release him until you promise to never do another radio show again.
Yeah.
And this is no exaggeration. 10 years later. I kept that email because, as Chris knows, I'm kind of I like to beat myself up from time to time. I never try to let myself get to it. And if I ever do, I would open this email and read it and remember, people hate you.
Yeah.
And I'm...
Stay paranoid.
I'm mowing... It's horrible.
No,
I'm mowing...
It's a Billy Martin tip thing. To any young person in this business, because somebody hates you at all times.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So it's 10 years later and I'm mowing the lawn. This was probably about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this voice in my head, literally, you know, this voicemail was just like, hey, go back and read that email. Reread that email again. For 10 years, I had read that email wrong.
Really?
For 10 years, I kept that email and read it as, you suck, you're the worst. What the email said was,
I get it now. Yeah.
I'm going to keep Jan Michelson down here so that you have to stay on the radio.
Because
you're good. And I use this as like
motivation.
A way to bring myself down.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, golly, just take. But it was, that's a reminder to me that I am an idiot and I know it and I'm wrong about a lot of things and that's okay. I mean, all those things I said about the smoking ban and the Ingersoll bike trail, that's all true. All those things, I hated those ideas.
Yeah.
And they're all great ideas. So you just have to realize that sometimes
you're
a moron.
Have you ever gotten one that actually stung for
no,
real?
No.
Never?
Never, Mark, because I was raised in a house where I was the youngest one in my family, and my brother and my dad, who are manly men, called me Urkel. I was the nerd in the family. I was the little dork.
Yeah.
I had glasses, great big Sally Jesse Raphael red framed glasses. I had braces. But I'd never let that stuff bother me. It didn't bother me that my dad and my brother thought that I was a nerd because I knew I was a cool kid and I had friends and that it didn't. So my point with that is you can't say something to me that's going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Like, you don't mean as much to me as my brother and my dad and they didn't tear me down. So good luck.
Out of all
challenge
the
accepted.
Out of yeah,
all
exactly
the,
right.
Out
exactly.
of all the letters, I'm curious too, that both of you guys have gotten or emails or whatever, how many of them, what percentage are anonymous in some way? Because we've talked about this before. You were yelling about it on the radio the other day about something. Like, put your name on it. And
Chris has a lot more than me because I'm not as – mine isn't as cyber-based as yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where people can do that. With me, people assume when they call in and talk to me that I have their phone number on a caller ID. Well, that's not the case. No, I shouldn't admit that. But we don't know who you are.
Yeah.
We have no idea how to get a hold of you again. So, but people assume that you do.
Yeah.
And so I think that they're a little bit more tempered with that stuff.
Oh, I've had – What? I mean, I've had people on Twitter like make comments about raping my wife. Like, seriously.
Wow.
Like, anonymous, obviously.
And it wasn't a compliment to your wife when they said that?
Like,
oh, you could be
it wasn't like your wife is hot.
Yeah, yeah. No, my point was you could be misconstruing it like he did with his letter for 10 years.
No.
That's a fact. And it, you know, that's the thing about Twitter, too. You're so limited with those characters. And Chris knows this. I'm really bad. I've even ruined friendships with how, like, coarse I can be with my language.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, especially when you have to get your point across in such a short amount of time, I'm not saying somebody's saying, oh, I'm going to rape your wife. They're actually trying to say, boy, Chris, you sure are lucky. You outkicked your coverage. I don't think that's what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
But some of that stuff, I think, is misconstrued.
Well, just an example for this, though. There have been, I don't want to throw this guy under the bus because he's actually turned out to be a really nice guy, and we've been emailing each other back. But there's a Hawk fan who has one of the anonymous.
I'm guessing I know you're talking about.
He's got one of the anonymous accounts, and I recently invited him to come be on the podcast.
Yeah,
for fun. Like it, I thought it'd be a blast. But I was like, on one condition though, you've got to be.
Can I say who you are?
Yeah, you've got to own up to who you are. Nope, crickets.
Nothing.
Guy doesn't want to do it because it then he basically have to delete his account. And yeah,
right.
Stuff. And
like, there's accountability for everything he's got.
Yeah, which is my point to internet. When I call them trolls, if you and I could go on the radio every day and you were Hawkeye, whatever.
Hawkeye 43.
Yeah. And I'm Cyclone 86.
Yeah. Is it Biff Hammer? Is he the one that no one knows who he is?
I do.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people know who Biff is. But yeah.
And if you do, know Biff, you know why there is a legitimate reason why he can't be who. Why he can't say his real name. On
oh, really?
Yeah, there is. And there's a legitimate reason for it. So
okay.
I've beat up on Biff. Biff is a friend of mine. I know Biff outside of radio. And this was one of the things I even kind of beat up on him. In fact, we had a intervention type thing with him one day with a bunch of us and said, all right, we can get past this huge hurdle that is in the way. There is a real reason. Most people probably don't care.
I'm definitely asking you once this is over, because I know him too, and I don't know the real reason.
There's a legal reason.
But I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this may seem lame, but like if you were to ever get something on Twitter again saying somebody like is going to rape your wife, which is pretty extreme.
Well, I would
probably turn that person in. Because that's like beyond
that's
trolling,
crazy, right?
And that's just, I mean, in a sense, not that they're really going to do it, but that's certainly a threat.
I think I reported it, but it's like.
I wouldn't turn it in. Let's find out who it is. You get that over to me. I'll take care of it.
You can't, though. I mean, it was just gibberish, their name. It wasn't a, and the, my problem was because my profile picture was of me and my wife.
Yeah.
Which I learned my lesson.
But people aren't truly anonymous. I mean, if you want to find out
here's what my response to that would have been. Retweet him.
You know what? I do that with Hawk fans.
Retweet him
all
and,
the time.
And just and say, hey, somebody knows this guy. This guy at some point has said, I mean, like the Franz Red Face. And he's not a guy that falls into these categories at all.
Yeah.
But I'm on Twitter one day. I'm at a party. I'm hanging out with a buddy. I go, man, do you follow this Franz Red Face? He says, oh, I got a great story about that. I'm golfing at a charity event with this random foursome. And this guy and I are talking about the Hawkeyes and Twitter. And I said, man, do you follow this Twitter account, Franz Red Face? And the guy said, dude, I am Franz Red Face.
Oh,
and pulled his phone out and showed him, you know, that he had that Twitter account. Now, that's the type of, at some point, this, you know, Hawkeyes 47 or whatever, whatever this jackass's name who writes this to you, he has said to a friend, hey, don't you think this is cool? I'm Hawkeye 47. And that it's just important, even if that one person
to be clear,
knows,
it wasn't like an Iowa guy.
Yeah, but to be
just want to make that clear.
It's just important, I think, in those cases that you put that out there and go, hey, by the way, who the one or two people out there that do know this guy? This is your friend.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
this is the type of people.
Well, it's like the Curt Schilling thing. What he did with his daughter.
Exactly right.
That
exactly
awesome.
Right. Yep. Just
and I think that guy got fired or got kicked out of school. Or
until they
something.
Monet Davis is another good one. You know, that kid got kicked off the baseball team and she went back and said, no, I'll let him play.
And to be clear, we do live in a world that's way too sensitive.
Yes.
For sure.
There's always a line.
But you got to draw the line, and raping a wife is probably the line.
Yeah. not a
would
good
you
line.
Draw the line, I would assume?
All right, Ross has got to get going.
Yeah.
You've got to get out to your meeting.
I got a charity, so I'm on a board for the East High Golf Classic. It's a nonprofit. We've raised $250,000 in the last 21 years.
And
all that, every penny of that goes back to help the students at East High. This year we had a kid that was a wrestling phenom. He had more pins in his career than any wrestler at East High had wins in their career. And we paid to send him to a wrestling camp, and he got a Division I scholarship to Northern Illinois out of
that's
that.
Cool.
So we're going to do a presentation for him at Prairie Meadows tomorrow night. Cool. I'm sorry, Saturday night. And so anyway,
do you feel like your career is a little bit fuller now? Having done this?
There's no mark like that stuff. Helping Little League. When I was a kid, when I first graduated high school, I coached Little League. And dude, that's so fulfilling. Like that stuff is amazing. And helping out this stuff, and you know, being able to use whatever position we have at the radio station to help that stuff out, especially
just call, you know, call it star power,
whatever, whatever. It's those people at East did a lot for me and helped me out, and I wouldn't be doing radio if I hadn't, if they wouldn't let me sit in the press box when I was a sophomore in high school and, you know, announce the running back on running plays. You know what I mean? It was, they do what they can, and that neighborhood gets, gets crapped on all the time.
You can say it.
58-17.
Mark that down. 58-17.
They just get, they get beat up a lot. And so it's important to help out when you can.
Oh, I feel sorry for Chris. He's over here scribbling on his pink little post-it note.
Yeah, it's okay. Don't feel sorry for me.
Thanks for inviting me, guys. This was fun.
We'll see you in a couple hours.
Sounds good, buddy.
Who do you want to have on the show today?
Can do this. Since Matt Woodley's is out of town, we could ask Andy if he wants to come in and talk NBA playoffs.
All right, whatever you want to do.
Let's see if he wants to come in. Don't we have we got extra innings from 6 to 7?
Nope. I think we need to announce something for Monday, by the way, for our listeners of this podcast.
Yes.
What's happening Monday on the show?
Is this official?
I'd talk to him.
This is official.
This is official. This is
as wow. Everything's official. Dude, verbal agreements are what I live on.
Okay? Good.
So to set this up, Adam and Ross had never met before today.
No.
Okay?
True story.
So Ross comes in today, says, hi, I'm Ross. Hi, I'm Adam. They've known each other for roughly 5 seconds. And Ross says,
hey, Adam, what are you doing Monday afternoon? Chris is going to be gone. Do you want
to... Something tells me that Mark told Adam or told Ross to do this.
No, I swear to God, he did not.
I did not. That's
great.
No.
That makes the story a lot better then.
No.
I seriously have... when you guys first started the podcast, it was like, man, Adam's got to hate this. Like, this is a big part of what he did. I'm just stepping in here, and I always felt
bad.
Yeah,
you did feel sensitive.
And every week, you guys would just come in and just crap all over him again.
That's part of what we do.
That's like me and Downs are having a little bit of a, you know, fight going on right now. Downs is taking some shots at me too.
Listen, you got Downs, okay? Downs, he's a tough kid, so be pack a lunch, but you can get him, okay?
Yeah, I feel good about that.
So you're co-hosting.
I guess.
And you're going to come
in on this.
So you're going to be busy Friday, so we can't do the Fawcast on Fanatics. So you're going to come in on Monday, and we'll do Fawcast on Monday.
You
at
got the round table.
We
too.
Got the round table from 5 to 6.
Yep.
So my Monday show's booked.
Topics I want to discuss because Chris never.
We
got to
go for an hour.
All right. Yeah, we'll talk about this later.
If you want to talk about Iowa State's fourth string middle linebacker, Grazier,
I want to talk about Andrew Luck.
Oh God.
Neckbeards.
Nothing screams Des Moines, Iowa radio May 17th like an Andrew Luck debate.
Thanks, guys. This was fun.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for listening.